All right, so in case you can't read the number in the bottom of your screen there for some reason, if you want to participate in the class in some way or the other, in other words, you want to have an extended stay on the telephone, make comments, interact with the class, we have a different phone number to dial. Almost looks like a phone number from South Carolina. I'm not positive. 863-208-0120. When a nice lady comes on the phone and ask for the PIN, the code, you dial code number 625-306-636. So, again, you dial the number, 863-208-0120, and that PIN on the bottom of the screen, if you can read it, is 625-306-636. Yeah, we'll leave this number on here for about 5 minutes, and then after 5 minutes, we'll repeat it one more time, and then we'll take it away. We're going to be studying Numbers chapter 9 today, Numbers chapter 9 in the Scripture. Oh, someone, sir, hi, welcome to the class. And what's your name?
Hello.
Hi, it's Jacob.
Yes, and I think there's somebody on the other line named Barbara.
Hi, Barbara. I'm glad you're here. I'm going to try to fix it.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. You said, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you're here, too. It's good to be here. Okay.
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Jacob.
That's right. That's right.
Is Grummer there?
Is Mrs. Grummer, your mama there, Jacob? Hi, Mrs. Grummer.
Hello.
Hello. Good. Super. Okay, glad you're here. I'm glad that it works for some people. Works for the Texas connection and for the New Jersey connection. That's good to know. A special number. Hi.
Hello.
Let's begin with a word of prayer. We're going to be studying Numbers chapter 9 today. Father, we do thank thee today for thy word. We do ask that it encourages with it. Allow us to understand various things from this book that we have us learn. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in about 3 hours from now, the Jewish people will begin the observance of Passover. I suspect it's based on local time. And so, it's sunset or it's 6 o'clock. I'm not sure how that varies, but usually it's 6 o'clock the next day. Passover will begin. So, today, at 6 o'clock, Passover begins. And Passover is treated as a Sabbath day. So today, at 6 o'clock, if you want to catch a train in Israel, you got 3 hours to get from here to there. Otherwise, you'll get stuck where you're at. Because the public transportation system is going to close down today at 6 o'clock. It won't open again until, it's not going to open tomorrow because tomorrow is another Sabbath. So we have to wait until the first day of the week for it to open again. So there's a kind of a double Sabbath right here we have. Anna, then Dole.
Wouldn't the Sabbath normally begin at 6 p.m. on a Friday?
I guess it would, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm upside down right now. I'm sorry. So there's no special thing about it being a double. It's a single Sabbath. It's single. It's not a double. Okay, so I have that. I was thinking. And another year, we'll make the same speech, same comment, when it's on, when Passover's on a Thursday. Tammy.
But it's in the following day, a Sabbath, because it's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Yes.
And there's only convocation.
Mm-hmm. That's true. In Israel, they make it the first day and the last day of Passover celebration. But yes, you're right, the next day is a Unleavened Bread as well, right? And then according to the Jewish
Leviticus.
Bill.
Yeah, since most of the Jews in Israel are not religious, they don't believe in God, I wonder if much of the business really is going to close down, or are they going to observe that holiday instead,
mm-hmm.
regardless of their beliefs?
I don't know. Was there much activity in Israel as far as commerce was concerned on the seventh day of the week?
If my memory serves me correctly, they did shut down because it's a national, just like Collinswood has the blue laws because of Knights Park. But everybody didn't observe it because I remember going by on a Sabbath, they had jet skiers on the Sea of Galilee. You know, going. But
that's
think
work.
Yeah, but I mean, they obviously weren't observing it. But yeah. I think the nation as a whole ordered them closed. I believe that's
so. That's your memory.
I think that's
well,
so.
I guess if I was a worker, that would be okay.
But I saw the jet skis and I thought of that. But these guys are really keeping the Sabbath, going down there and boating.
We were there at this time.
Yeah.
We were there
at this time. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's when I first learned Shabbat Shalom.
Yes.
And I knew Shalom, but I never got the Shabbat Shalom with it. But they would say Shabbat Shalom. I guess Shabbat Sabbath and Shalom is peace.
Yes, sir. That's right. We listen to the Israeli news. Channel 7? Channel 7 Israeli news. They got a 10-minute news summary of what's going on in Israel and their surrounding countries. And this day, it'll say Shabbat Shalom on Friday. And
is that on television? Or?
Yeah, it's...
Well, it was on YouTube, wasn't it?
Yeah, YouTube feed or something like that. A YouTube feed or they're from there. I'm not sure how it goes, but anyway, it's something we could look at pretty much after it happens, if that news happens. And so, do you remember what day of the week the Passover was? What day of the week it was when you were there 11 years ago?
No.
But nonetheless, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Passover in this section here of Numbers chapter 9. And again, the Passover is a commemoration of what the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of Pharaoh. And it's called Passover because he passed over. The angel of death passed over. And he passed over everyone that had the blood on the doorpost. And those that did not have the blood on the doorpost, he did not pass over. And any firstborn in that household was slain. And so that's why we have, as we see when you take from the book of Leviticus, when elsewhere in Scripture, when you take a census of the people, we have, rather than having all the firstborn of the children of Israel be the Lord's, you had a single tribe be the Lord's, the tribe of Levi.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just looked it up about that Sabbath. I just want to make sure I didn't pass false information. This says Shabbat starts on sunset on Friday and ends on sundown on Saturday, even if you knew that. All public offices are closed on Shabbat, as are banks, that says most stores and businesses throughout Israel. There's a growing number of shops open on Shabbat, so it must not be a mandated thing, but more and more must now be opening. But most, at least that's what this note says.
Because, okay.
I just apologize for interrupting.
No, not a problem. It's good clarification. But it is the Jewish state, the Jewish country, and so for the most part, that's how they are, unless perhaps they are, the ones that are open are secular, or they're non-Jewish people that are participating in that activity, that commerce on that day. Bill?
Yeah, I knew quite a few Jews who never read their Bible or Torah.
Right.
They had to learn about the traditions when they were in school, and they still observe the holidays. They pay several hundred dollars to be able to go to the synagogue on those holidays. But those holidays are the only time that they went to the synagogue.
Right.
They didn't even believe in God, and yet they'd observe it. It's more of a cultural thing than anything else for them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes, please. I'll repeat the number one more time. If you want to take part of the class, have an opportunity to take this number down. It won't be on the screen anymore, but write it down with a piece of paper and a pencil. It's 863-208-0120. Dial that phone number. And when the nice lady comes on and answers the phone, type in this PIN number, 625-306-636. So from your experience, this was in the United States. Friends you had in the United States.
Yeah, strictly the United States. Yeah.
They have different levels of Jewish people.
Yeah, and one person I worked with every day never read any materials on the Bible or anything. He didn't even know who most of the patriarchs of the Old Testament were.
Okay.
But he called himself an Orthodox Jew.
Okay. Right. Do you want that hearing device, Mom? You can put there's a device back there. You can plug in. You put the two earpieces in. You can hear a lot better.
All right. I just don't want to cause
no. There's no uproar being caused here. Okay. We have no uproar at all. And so we have let's read some of these verses. So we'll start with verse 1. Mrs. Grimmer, why don't you start with verse 1, then Barbara verse 2, and then Jacob verse 3, and then we'll come to John with verse 4.
And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season.
In the 14th day of this month, at even, he shall keep it in his appointed season according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof shall he keep it.
And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, that they should keep the Passover.
And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at even, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel.
All right, Lauren, go ahead.
Okay. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day.
And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore we are kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel.
And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. Okay, so we'll pause right here with verse 9 for a moment. Go back and look at some of these other verses. Going back to verse 1 of chapter 9. When did the Lord speak unto Moses? Well, we see him speaking to Moses in the first month of the second year. Now, this is the second year from when they came out of Egypt. You know, that's when they're counting. And so this is when God spoke to them, the Lord spoke to Moses more than just this time, but this is when he spoke unto him. He spoke in this time, the first month of the second year. And so, Mrs. Grummer, what were the children of Israel to keep?
The laws.
In verse 2.
The Passover, yes.
They were to keep the Passover. And again, what's the Passover? It's commemoration of what? Okay.
And the Lord passed over.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Go ahead, Tammy. Tammy's got the question.
When the Lord passed over the children of Israel in the 10th plague of the death of the firstborn because they had the blood on the lintels and doorposts.
Yes, that's right. It's, God's demonstrating His deliverance for the children of Israel. And on what day was the Passover be kept? We see this in verse 3. On the 14th day of this month. That's when it was to be kept, on the 14th day of the first month. And they were to keep that continually. And then we see there they are keeping it. And here's another 14th day of the first month. Their calendar's different, but they're keeping it. They're keeping it. They're observing the Passover. And they're supposed to be remembering what God did for them. How God delivered them. Now, they should have stopped doing this. They should have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But they didn't. So they're still commemorating something that is part of the old system. They're still having themselves under the law to a limited degree. They can't keep all the law. There's no sacrificial system that they can do, and they're limited to what they can do, but they're trying to do something. Some of them are. And it's become... And they want to, I mean, they're making an attempt, but they have their eyes blinded to the truth, to what of what God has done for them. I mean, they understand the fact that God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And if they actually believe that there is a God, and they believe in creation, believe in everything else, then they need to keep on searching out Messiah. They believe the Messiah has not come yet, but yet he has come. So Barbara, in verse 4, to whom did Moses speak? He spoke unto the children of Israel. So the Lord spoke to Moses, and then Moses in turn spoke to the children of Israel. And we notice here in verse 5, they kept the Passover in the first month, and they were in the wilderness of Sinai when they kept it.
We're
in Numbers chapter 9, and verse 5. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. It's chapter 9 and verse 5 of the book of Numbers. And so Jacob, let me ask you a question. How were certain men defiled? And what could they keep? You still there, Jacob? Or have I been muted?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you call my name,
Jacob. Okay, I'm sorry, Jacob. How were certain men defiled? This is based on question number 6, Jacob.
Okay. I will read it. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, and they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. I had to read the whole thing, Pastor Dan, because we didn't get the
I should have, I'm sorry it did not arrive. It should have arrived. Maybe the mailman...
That's all right.
Yeah,
he sent it.
Maybe the mailman wanted to do the quiz this week.
He just didn't do his studying. That's all.
Yeah. I guess I need to send. I guess I have to give you the link so you can get it off the. Actually, it's on Sermon Audio.
Okay, it's on Sermon Audio.
You go to Sermon Audio, and the quiz is there on Sermon Audio. Go to the Bible tape page, and you read about. Look at the word "read," and you could read this study guide of chapter. Tammy, put that up there for me. Thank you, Tammy, for doing that. But Jacob didn't know. But now that Jacob knows,
I don't know.
We're going to be graded next time.
There's a lot of things I don't know. Everything changes. It's a moving target. The world's a moving target.
Yes, it can be at times.
I shoot it. It's already moved. I meant to go behind it.
And so because they were defiled, they were kept back. That they weren't... They could not make any offerings to the Lord because of the defilement. And so they wanted to observe the Passover, but they were prevented from doing so because they were defiled. Now, I'm not sure how strict they are today with this rule. If today's the Passover begins at 6 o'clock, at sundown, 3 o'clock, in Israel it's 10 o'clock, but here it's 3 o'clock. What were they to do if they're defiled? Well, we see here a policy that's the Lord has allowed. And so, in John, what did Moses tell them in verse 8?
They told them to wait on the Lord and see what he would say.
To stand still. Sometimes we have the hardest time standing still, do we not? We can't stand still. We don't want to stand still.
Right. We live in a want-it-now society.
Right. Yeah. Want it yesterday, that's right. And but they have to stand still. And so we have, again, so they stood still, which is a good thing. And we have again the Lord speaking to Moses in verse 9. So let's read a few more verses here. Mrs. Grumbert, go ahead with verse 10, please.
Then
chapter 9, verse 10.
Israel saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unchanged by reason of a dead body,
or be in a journey afar off, yet ye shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month at even, ye shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs.
And they shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any stone of it according to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it.
John, verse 13.
But the man that is clean and is not in a journey, and forbear to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, and the man shall bear his sin.
And if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the Passover unto the Lord according to the ordinance of the Passover, and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. Ye shall have one ordinance both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land.
And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning.
So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night.
You want to read verse 17, Mom, please? Numbers 9:17.
9:17. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents.
At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents.
And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not.
And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the command of the Lord, they journeyed. So notice, in going back to verse 10 for a moment, what is something that can make one unclean? Well,
a dead body.
Clearly a dead body would make somebody unclean. And so these people, these men, they're a relative, a family member, I suppose, that died, and consequently caused them to be unclean. And this happened, coincided with the time of the Passover, and they weren't able to observe the Passover being unclean. And so in verse 11, Bill, with what two items is the Passover to be kept?
Unleavened bread and bitter herbs.
Now, what is unleavened bread?
No yeast. Won't rise.
You know? And today in Israel, and in those that are observing the Passover, for the Passover time, for these 8 days, 7 to 8 days of Passover, they're not eating leaven.
Yeah, all the stores have unleavened bread right now.
They're eating the matzah bread, the unleavened bread. And what else? The bitter herbs. They're eating as well. That's what they're to eat during the Passover time period. And noticing here in verse 12, they weren't to break any of the bones of the Passover lamb. It's a type of the Passover lamb. Of course, this is all a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things are a picture of something better that's coming, a far greater Passover. The Passover that happened during the time of the Exodus was a wonderful thing, but it was a picture of something that was far greater than that deliverance. As the people were delivered. And the only way people today could be delivered is by the greater Passover, is by the blood of Christ. And in the Passover in Egypt, you have the blood of a lamb. And then in this Passover, for the Passover who Christ is, our Passover, we have his blood. And his blood has to be upon us. Otherwise, the angel of death will come upon us at the moment of death, and we will be those that have not accepted Christ as Savior will be lost in hell for eternity. And so, in Lorraine, verse 13, who will be cut off from his people, and what must he bear?
His soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord. And his appointed season, the man shall bear his sin.
And so he's got to bear his own sin.
Yes.
You know, it's been very important to be clean. during the time of the Passover. And we see here, there's one ordinance. Oh, Anna, go ahead, your thought.
So it's verse 13, we're on verse 13, right?
Yes, we are.
So verse 13 is basically saying that if you don't have one of these reasons, not to be keeping Passover, there's, like, you should be keeping the Passover. Keep the Passover.
That's good.
Unless you're unclean or in a journey where you won't be able to keep the Passover.
And so once somebody refuses or deliberately ignores the Passover, not because of they're in a journey or because they're unclean, then they're going to be cut off, right? And they're going to be required to bear their own sins. And in verse John.
Back to
just a second, Jacob.
Number 12, a little bit. Talking about what's not to be broken of is the bone. Remember that representing, we see in the future, that's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Prophetically, not a bone was going to be broken of this future.
Right.
Passover lamb.
That's right.
And that was Jesus Christ. So his bones were not broken. As was the custom when they were being crucified, they went ahead so they would break the legs on them so they would drop. Christ's legs were not broken, not a bone of his body was ever broken during that.
Yeah, the thief,
the
man on the left, the man on the right, their legs were broken, but Christ was already dead. Mm-hmm. His bones were not broken. Jacob, you had a thought?
Yeah, I got three verses for that if you want.
Sure, let's have them.
Exodus 12, verse 46. Psalm 34, verse 20. And John 19, verse 36. And I'm hearing an echo.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor Dan. Can you hear me?
Well, yes, I can hear you, Jacob. What was the first one?
Oh, wow. Let me go back.
Exodus 12, verse 46. All right, Exodus 12, 46. Is the echo gone, Jacob?
Psalm.
So I got Psalm 34, 20, and John 19, 36. Who wants to read Exodus 12, 46? You got that? All right, Jacob, read Exodus 12, 46. John, read Psalm 34, 20. Bill, read John 19, 36. Jacob's.
In one house shall it be eaten, thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof.
Okay. And John, read the Psalm 34, 20, please.
Keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken.
And then Bill, John 19:36, please.
For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken.
Good. Right. So again, it's a picture. You don't want to break the bones.
Right. And that's a very important aspect of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, because you mentioned earlier, you know, in the Old Testament, you said the lamb, but it was, their sins were covered by a lamb, and in the future were covered by the lamb.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, the future.
I think it says in Psalm 22, all my bones are out of joint, but that was No, from dislocation from the...
But they weren't broken.
Right, that would have to hang on a cross.
Right, not...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it says it here. I know it says, oh yeah, it says it in Psalm 22:14, but not above it. I pour out my water, all my bones are out of joint. That would be from that crucifixion, because when you're hanging there, your legs can only keep you up for so long. I have right. heard.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it. But
yes,
I
they would push up with their foot to gasp for air.
Yeah, and you got to push up on your legs, and you can only do that so long. I don't think it's a nice way physically to die, but what was in the bottom of that cup was a whole lot worse than the physical pain that he suffered.
That's right, Jacob. And, oh, Tammy, I mean, pardon me, yeah.
No, in verse 13, one that forbears to keep the Passover, or forbears to keep the Passover, he's going to have to bear his sin, which is, if you reject the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're completely on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You're rejecting what Christ did and taking his sin upon himself, and so now you're left with your sin.
You're identifying with him, you want to maintain the sin of Adam rather than the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here in verse 14, there was just one ordinance that was mentioned here. We're talking about a stranger. The stranger was to keep the Passover. But there was the one ordinance they had, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. So it was not discriminate, both for the stranger and for them that was born in the land, was to observe and was to keep this commemoration. And so,
just a quick little side note on that one ordinance for both them and strangers. The founding fathers of this country planned our walls being the same way, based on the scriptures. One of the scriptures they based it on, that it would be one law regardless whether you were a citizen or a non-citizen. Mm-hmm. If you were here, you were to obey the law.
Right, very important to obey the law. Tammy.
So in Exodus 12:49, the same thing is written: one law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you.
Yeah.
And then in verse 44. And also in verse 48, it talks about the stranger. I mean, in verse 44, it says...
still chapter 12?
Yes, still chapter 12. No, verse 43, it says, there shall no stranger eat thereof, but then it qualifies. And in verse 48, it says, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. So that's really what it was referencing. It seems like they had to be circumcised in order to mm-hmm. partake of the okay. Passover.
That's good. Good clarification. And so
may I define stranger?
Oh, please do, Barbara. Please define what a stranger is.
A resident non-Israelite who had become a convert to the religion of Israel and had undertaken to conform to the laws and precepts of Torah.
Okay, so there's the definition of a stranger.
There's two different kinds of strangers over there in Exodus 12, though.
Yes.
There's the one that's not a proselyte, which is treated different. That
right.
fact you can take, what is that about? high rate of taxation when they borrow something.
Usury.
You can charge them usury, and you don't have to let them go on the on the sixth year, and such like that. They're also a servant, but it's unservant. They can do the hard labor and the brick shell and the carry of the water, and
mm-hmm.
chopping the wood, carrying the wood, the auger, the
hard
servitude kind of work.
Right.
Because the one that Barbara was talking about, the proselyte, they're be treated like it says here, and him that was born in the right time. That they be treated, what is it saying, Exodus 12:49, I think, But that they, I don't think they were coming out of Egypt with these kind of bond servants yet, but the principle was being laid down. Maybe they did have something on. Let's see, every man's servant is bought for money. When thou art circumcised, okay, he shall eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. That's your bond servant in Exodus 12:45.
Mm-hmm.
And even among all of them, whether they're, you know, like one that is like a proselyte that is treated like just like a Jew. But in 49, one law shall be him that is homeborn and of strangers and sojourners among you. I wonder why the social justice, you know, marks that people don't use this one. I guess you just pick and choose when the ship takes worldview. They, you know.
Yeah, probably that's what they do.
Yeah, it doesn't promote chaos.
Right.
That's what they want, to break down the national structure and bring in their social justice.
Right, that's correct. That's right. So in verse 15, Richard, I wonder what covered the tabernacle on the day it was set up. In verse 15.
In verse 15?
Yes.
I'll just guess it's probably the cloud.
The cloud. Yeah. The cloud by day and the appearance of fire by night.
Fire by night.
And I got the tabernacle picture up over there on the wall on the right. And you see a picture of that Shekinah glory that's appearing above there. And we have the gate there is in the eastern part, eastern gate, eastern door of the tabernacle to go into it. And here's a picture of it on the screen for anyone that wants to see it. In a little bit better, switch to camera 5, and we'll see it real quick here. There it is. It's very nice. Thank you, Anna, for helping
me. May I make a comment, please?
Oh, please do it, Barbara. Please make a comment.
I just saw this as you were reading it. At the end of verse 15, it says, as it were the appearance of fire. It's the same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. It doesn't say it was fire. It appeared as cloven tongues of fire.
That's a good observation, Barbara. Parallel with Acts chapter 2. It's a pillar of cloud by day and the appearance of a pillar of fire by evening. And you see that in verse 16 again, it's repeated. The appearance of fire by night. You know, it looked like fire. That's what it looked like. In Acts chapter 2, it was appeared as fire as well. It was rested upon them. And now, Molly, verse 17, I got a question for you from verse 17. At what point did the children of Israel resume their journey?
Acts what?
Numbers chapter 9, verse 17.
And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle.
That's right. They resumed the journey when the cloud was taken up. Their journey was going to the land. They left Egypt, and where their journey was to go from Egypt to the promised land. That was where they were supposed to go. Now, granted, we know that they didn't go directly there because of the sin of the people. They wanted to walk by sight, not by faith. The 10 spies gave an evil report. 2 spies gave a good report, and the people went with the report of the 10 spies rather than with the 2. And so there was a problem. But they were journeying. That's when the cloud was taken up. They continued the journey. I think they stopped around 40 times. As they were journeying from Egypt to the Promised Land, 40 different stops throughout their time there in the wilderness, going from Egypt to the Promised Land. And upon whose command the children of Israel commenced their journey? With the Lord. The Lord is the one that gave them the command. And they stayed where they were going as long as the cloud abode on top of the tabernacle. But as soon as that cloud moved, that's when they resumed the journey and began to go forward. And Anna, so under what conditions did the children of Israel cease their journey?
If the cloud, it stopped, it like rested.
When the cloud stopped, so they were journeying, they were following the cloud as they were going through the wilderness, when the cloud stopped, that's when they stopped, and that's when they would set up the tabernacle and resume their service in the tabernacle and resume what they were doing. And noticing in verse 20, what did the children of Israel do when the cloud abode on the tabernacle? Well, they abode in their tents. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. When the cloud moved, they moved. That's exactly what they did. Tammy, go ahead and read verse 21, and then we'll have please, if you don't mind.
And so it was when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed.
Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining therein. The children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. In John, verse 23.
At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord, at the commandment of the Lord, by the hand of Moses.
And so noticing here in verse 21, they would commence their journey whether it be day or night. They wouldn't necessarily have, they would, whenever that moved, it was a signal for them to move. And when they would stop, it was a signal for them to stop. And so so Tammy in verse 22, what would tarry upon the tabernacle?
The cloud.
The cloud. That's what would tarry upon the tabernacle, the cloud. And noticing in verse 23, by whose hand did the children of Israel keep the commands of the Lord? They kept it by the hand of Moses. He's the one that gave them direction. He was the one that God chose to be their leader. And so, Mrs. Grammer, you want to do question 24, please?
Read it?
Yeah, read it and give an answer to question 24.
Oh. Okay, thank you. Why was the tabernacle needed?
Yes. Like a three-part question here.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, just barely, but anyway. It's so the people would have, I wrote so the people would have a place to worship the Lord and offer the sacrifices.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, the tabernacle was needed because the people needed, you know, when to go and when not to go.
Mm-hmm.
With the cloud and the fire.
That's right. Barbara, did you get your quiz in the mail? Your study guide?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you want to add to question 24, if you don't mind.
The whole thing or just the
part? Well, the whole thing or whichever part you want to add to, either all or part.
Okay, I have it all answered.
Well, good. Then answer the whole thing.
Why was the tabernacle needed? One, you could not learn the way of the heathen, Jeremiah 10:2. Israel was quite familiar with the way the world around them lived and worshiped. God had chosen them and needed to teach Israel the way he wanted them to live and worship him and be as his people. It was where he dwelt and revealed himself to his people, and his people approached to him. The way they approached God showed them that they weren't good enough in and of themselves to come to him. They had to come to him with innocent blood and by a priest. Without it, Israel would have been no better off than their pagan neighbors. And the significance of the Passover, I looked up the Passover, and it's considered the Lord's Passover. It required sacrifice. It was an ordinance and a memorial. It was to be kept forever. It had its appointed season. It had its rites and ceremonies. It was to be kept unto the Lord. It was a holy convocation. It had exact and specific instructions on how to be kept. It was one of the three feasts that the Jews were required to go to Jerusalem, where God chose to put his name. It had to be kept in faith and obedience. It was to protect from death. It was so that Israel would know that God put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites, which speaks to sanctification. And also the Jews, it's not just the Passover, but it's about freedom. Israel had been slaves in Egypt, and they were owned by another to be obedient without choice. God orchestrated their freedom from slavery. Israel knew no slavery among her own people. When someone had paid the debt to their debtor, they went out free, owing nothing more. And what makes you free? The truth makes you free. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The Son shall make you free, which means that Jesus is the truth, which is what he says in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. To know him is to know the truth. Christ has made us free from sin. We are free to not use our liberty for a quote of maliciousness or wickedness, but as the servants of God. Liberty is not a license to do whatever you want, but to obey from the heart the will of God out of love. And as for the third question, the New Testament parallel to the tabernacle and the Passover, the short version of that is read the book of Hebrews, which explains that the tabernacle and the Passover were but shadows of the reality of who Christ was and what he did and the significance of it all.
Well, thank you, Barbara. Jacob, you want to add to that a little bit and give some of your thoughts about this? These questions are in number 24.
Yeah, I think I got a simpler one.
Okay, that's good. That's fine.
Not long anyway.
John, how about you?
There needs to be a picture of the true tabernacle. Let me just read four verses.
Okay.
It's Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. Hebrews 9, 23 and 24. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who has sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And in 9, and there's a whole lot more verses for what Barbara said about the whole book of Hebrews and other places in the epistles that. Anyway, 23 and 24, Hebrews 9, 23 and 24. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, meaning the blood of bulls and goats and lambs and rams. And over here in 13, about the and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying the purifying of the flesh. So that's 9, 13, but where was that? Oh, yeah,
24.
But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, meaning these earthly physical. This was a man's ordinance. That even though it was ordained by God, it was still a, we would say that. In 9:9, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, back to 9:24, Christ had not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. How to appear in the presence of God for us. And I think that covers the first.
All right, John.
I want to encapsulate each of my answers.
Good, that's good.
Okay. Why was the tabernacle needed? To make sacrifices. What is the significance of the Passover? To make atonement. What is the best New Testament parallel to the tabernacle and the Passover? Jesus Christ.
Good. Good encapsulation. That's great. Thank you. Bill, how about you? Question 24.
Why was the tabernacle needed? To keep the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord with his people. Mm-hmm. And the second part, what is the best New Testament, what is the significance of Passover? An act of grace by God to his people for as a foretaste to the coming Messiah. And the third part is, what is the best New Testament parallel to the tabernacle and to the Passover? The body, the abode of the Holy Spirit.
Brian, have you thoughts? Have any thoughts about question 24? Why is the tabernacle needed, and what's the significance of the Passover? And
what did you call?
Oh, Maureen.
Oh, boy.
What did you call that?
Oh, do you have any thoughts about number 24?
No, I'm just reading all the verses.
Okay.
There.
How about
the Passover verses, too.
I thought you were in London.
Any Passover?
Come on, answer. Maybe, you know, like in John and Baptist.
Ask Penny, she'll give you the answers.
How about you, the money? Question 24, right? Question 24 about the significance of the Passover and New Testament parallels to the Passover and why is the tabernacle needed?
You could just pass over.
Again. Okay, well, Passover.
No, I'm sorry, I should have said that. But, it's been said Passover needed. Various answers.
Yes.
There's one pattern in heaven.
Right.
I assume he commanded it.
Right.
But also it was a means whereby you could say God's wrath was, I should use the word appeased temporarily until the final Lamb, Jesus, because it covered sin.
Covered, how far, yes.
Covered. So, in the sense it would cover his wrath, I suppose, until the final atonement
right.
of Christ.
The perfect sacrifice.
Yeah, and then we have Christ our Passover, so we've had those answers reference to Jesus being Passover. So, and the Passover seems to be a picture of God passing over us when we have the blood applied to us, not on our literal doors, but maybe in our whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, everything's been said very interesting.
Right,
yes.
It is. Any more thoughts about number question 24, Mom?
Blood applied to the heart.
Yes, that's good, Jacob. So, Mom, what's the tabernacle? Why is the tabernacle needed? Why is the tabernacle needed? What's the significance of the Passover? And what New Testament parallel do we have?
It's all a picture of when Jesus Christ comes as the Lamb of God, is crucified.
That's right. It is a picture. And how about you?
Oh, yeah, all the answers were good.
Yeah, they were good. They are good answers. And then it's harder to add to them, I'm sure. But you have to
remember this. You didn't prepare anything beforehand.
Okay.
But the throne room of heaven is sort of similar to the tabernacle. So what the tabernacle.
I'm sorry, let me.
It's what the tabernacle was modeled after. And so the veil is now rent, and we can enter into this before the throne of
yes.
God.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's correct. And how about you, Tammy?
Well, why was the tabernacle needed? I'm going back to the days of Israel. God needed to show all mankind, not just Israel, that, you know, there was a need for a sin offering and that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. It could only cover sin. And it was also a place where people could fellowship with the Lord and what fellowship entailed, and that the sin needed to be removed in order for there to be fellowship. The significance of the Passover? Well, the Passover is a picture of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what is the New Testament parallel to the tabernacle and Passover? Again, the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb without spot or blemish, the firstborn of many brethren. And his blood is on the cross, and offering of his blood in heaven provides the blood of sprinkling. Jacob mentioned something like that. For the sin-cursed souls, for God to pass over. So, and then I had three verses about the blood of sprinkling. Hebrews 12:24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh of better things than of that of Abel. And then 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit in obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And then the last one. is Hebrews 11:28. Through faith, he, meaning Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So, I mean, there was an incident in Moses' life when God was trying to slay him because he wasn't keeping the commands of God. So he understood, and he feared the Lord, and by faith he kept, it seems he understood that, you know, there needed to be that sprinkling of blood in order for salvation.
Oh, well, thank you. Those answers. Any more thoughts or comments about chapter 9 today?
How about your answers?
Yeah, well, Jake, your thought.
Hello?
Yes, Jacob, we're still here.
Yeah. Well, we're having trouble hearing everything you're saying, but...
Okay, now, I wonder, Barbara, do you have trouble hearing too or not? Okay. I don't know. We do have a little bit of fans running in the room today. It's a little bit hot in the room, so we have some fans going. So maybe that's why you can't hear as well as usual. But as far as the need for did you dial in directly, Jacob, or did you dial in by way of Barbara?
I dialed directly. I put Barbara on to the extra call from this phone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That seems to work a whole lot better because this is not a cell phone, so
I understand.
It's a better connection.
Okay. What the work?
They're actually made for talking. They're actually made for communicating on good words.
We'll have to work on the connection, Jacob. I'm sorry. The tabernacle was needed for a place.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. I'm just glad to be here.
Okay. I understand, Jacob. I understand. We have to...
If he would come here next week,
yes,
rather than on my phone, it would be a lot better.
It would be. It would be better.
I like room for you.
Yesterday, I probably still can't be there by next
week. Right. Why was the tabernacle needed? It was needed for a place of sacrifice, a place of offering. And, of course, on the Day of Atonement, the very, very important things of sacrifice to be given. The Passover was significant because it was a time, a feast that the children of Israel could remember what God had done for them, how God had delivered them, you know. And then also, Jesus Christ... is a good, excellent parallel of the tabernacle and to the Passover. And he is our path. He came to this earth. He died upon the cross during the time of the Passover. During the Passover time is when he died. In fact, he had his body had to be removed from the cross because of the Passover. But he finished before the Passover of his day began. He finished the work. That sacrifice that needed to be made, and this is something that I mentioned before, that veil of the temple was rent from top to the bottom, signifying the fact there was no longer need for an earthly sacrifice because the heavenly sacrifice had been completed by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So those are some of my thoughts about question 24. You're welcome. Bill, would you close in prayer, please?
Father in heaven, we thank you for this important lesson, teaching us the parallels between the Old Testament and the New Testament, giving us a deeper understanding of what the Scriptures mean. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.